ranked one of America's top research universities, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries on UWM today. Here's the host, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor of University Relations.
As winter winds down, there are two things we can be certain of. It is going to begin to get warmer, and there's a pothole out there waiting to give you and your car a sudden jolt. But what if we could make our roads capable of withstanding the forces of nature? What if we could build streets and highways out of material that held together and made potholes a thing of the past? Well, on this edition of UWM Today, we meet an engineer who's developing high-performance concrete that can last 120 years or more. Konstantin Sobolev is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Milwaukee and is here to talk about some amazing research that you've been doing that is actually turning into products. Welcome, Konstantin. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you.
Well, we have a lot to talk about because you are a very prolific researcher and you're developing all sorts of new materials. But I want to start first with what you're doing with concrete to make it stronger and make it last so that my teeth don't rattle when I hit some of those potholes.
Well, this is what I do actually all my life. I worked on advanced concrete formulations and testing them and designing them for extreme weather exposures. My PhD was on high performance concrete, high strength concrete, and sustainable concrete, and extremely durable concrete. So this is what I'm doing all my life. And
tell us about the theory behind it. What are the principles of building this stronger, more durable concrete than the normal concrete we might have sitting on a sidewalk in front of our house?
Well, we use different chemical admixtures, and we try to optimize the grain sizes in concrete. And concrete is it's composite material. Usually we don't think about concrete as a composite material. We think about fiberglass, racing car is a composite, but concrete is actually composite material, particulate composite material. So it contains different particle sizes, which are starting with larger gravel or crushed stone. It has sand, it has cement grains, and cement grains are hydrating. Like small grains of Portland cement is actually binding everything together. So the trick is how to make it very dense, have lesser gaps there, which are pathways for water and aggressive chemicals actually to enter into the structure of the material and eventually destroy it because of freezing and thawing cycles or because of aggressive chemicals which are brought in. So the trick is actually to make very dense particle size distributions. And after another important part is when we have all the particles available, use chemicals which would allow us actually to mix concrete and place it in a such a way that density of the material is preserved.
Concrete has been around for a long time, right?
Well, yes.
Who invented it?
Well, usually credit goes to Romans, and they were actually it's interesting that one of the theories said that Romans were actually succeeded in building empires because they were able to build roads and also they were able to build ports. So actually concrete was the key of success to entire Roman Empire and maybe that ancient civilization. So actually this is the story.
So is the recipe been pretty much the same up until now? With sand and stone or rock, and then the cement as a binder? Is that the basic building block?
Well, the secret, of course, the recipe, which is it's virtually the same, but we have a little bit different materials. We have different component there. Portland cement is not the same which used to be in the past. And we know how to make it better. We modern Portland cement is was invented in mid of 1800s, I think. I think so. It is, but it is again material which has a similar origin. It's similar origin as Roman cement and Roman concrete technology, but it was progressing and changing chemistry, and actually every year we make cement better and better.
How long does cement last? Is there still cement around from the Roman days?
Yes, and I do have a sample in my office which has Roman concrete. Actually, surprising, it was maybe one of the first lightweight concrete, because lightweight concrete types which were used in the past. They were very smart when they were building their structures, which are still there. So they were using, depending on the type of concrete, they were able to use lightweight concrete, so they can build walls out of this concrete, and also they can build roof. And roof was extremely light, and for us to match the density of this concrete is not that easy. But our students actually are doing similar material. They are doing concrete canoe, for example, which can float. So concrete which can float, and every year, American Society of Civil Engineers, bringing them together for a competition, and our students are trying to do their best to make lightweight concrete like Romans did for their roofs also.
So you're coming up with the secret sauce. You're coming up with a new recipe for making the concrete more tolerant to the extremes that weather present. One more question going back to the Romans, and this is a couple thousand years ago, but did they have potholes back then too?
I guess yes.
we'll presume they did because it breaks down. I mean, the natural process of thawing and freezing and thawing and freezing creates cracks in it, right?
Well, I guess they were still in somehow better climatic conditions, but obviously and they never had like such type of loading which we have now. So weather-wise, they are, I think most of their structures were in better environmental conditions, and also loading was not there anymore. So imagine the truck load which we have, tremendous truck load we have on our roads, on our bridges, and it was not there at the time. So this might be another parameter there.
So one of the things you're trying to do is to prevent the cracking, and that's where these new composites that you're putting in, it takes pressure off so you don't have a great big crack in the concrete itself.
You're right. What we are using also, in addition to this extreme dense formulations, we are using fibers, and fibers we use, they are extremely small in size, so they are actually hair-like type of fibers, very 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 small diameter, which are incorporated into structure of concrete. And what we do, they hold concrete actually together. Actually, when concrete cracks, and it happens often. Crack means often a complete failure, because concrete is brittle material. And when it is when crack is started and it propagates, you know, it means material completely failed. And in order to make it work, we use reinforced concrete. So we use steel bars, and actually this is when, you know, this is the way we build actually reinforced concrete. This is where how structures are made.
They call it rebar.
Rebars.
So when they're building the Marquette interchange, or now the Zoo interchange, sure. You see truck after truck of steel rods that are being put inside.
Incorporated into the structure. And what we are trying to do actually, but we still may have cracks in reinforced concrete. And crack, if it is relatively large, it's a doorway for aggressive chemicals and, again, for water to get in, freeze, and deteriorate. And the worst case is to corrode the reinforcement. What we are trying to do, we're trying to add small fibers into the structure. And when we have fiber-reinforced composite, fiber-reinforced concrete, we have cracks are very limited to very tiny cracks. We may have instead of one crack, we make 100 cracks, but cracks are evenly distributed through the structure. And it is very difficult still for water and aggressive chemicals to get in through these small, tiny cracks. And in this way, we have more ductile concrete. It doesn't fail in a brittle way, so it is becoming more ductile, can work better under cyclic loading, and it also shows extreme durability because of smaller cracks.
So also, it's almost as if it's a self-healing property.
Yes, and this is what I wanted to say, actually. And eventually, these small cracks, concrete actually is, as one of my colleagues, older colleagues were always saying, the concrete is alive. So it always evolves. It always changes. And it may change, actually, to heal itself, and it usually gains strength as if it is in good conditions. But if it is under severe exposure and the severe loading, it may degrade, it may fail, it may crack, and eventually deteriorate. So in this way, we have grains of cement, and which are still there, not completely hydrated. They may hydrate. Hydrate means react with water and create same type of healing material as main material, and they can glue these cracks together again under favorable conditions. So you need moisture for this, but you don't need aggressive chemicals, which we usually apply on our roads.
You have several other inventions or new methods of creating roadbeds, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to ask you how you first got interested in this. You've devoted your life to concrete. Where did the journey begin?
Well, my grandfather and my father, they were really in construction. My grandfather, as I remember, he was always building something.
And that wasn't in this country.
It was actually back in Ukraine. And I spent my childhood there in his house. And he was always building something for his neighbors, for himself. It was always like some construction project there. And with my father, I was always involved also, like in his, he is still doing research, actually, and we have very similar goals and similar research lines. But I remember myself, coming home and seeing some equipment and dining table, and nobody was allowed to touch it, and he was testing some properties of concrete or cementitious materials. And so we had dinner somewhere else, not really like at this precious area where he was doing tests.
So you literally have concrete in your blood.
You
were born on it,
looks
right?
Looks like.
Raised
yes.
on it.
Yes.
Just a wonderful story. And your father is now still a professor?
Yeah, he's professor back in Russia.
Working in the same sort of
working on same on construction materials, on sustainable construction materials, utilizing byproducts, doing essentially same things.
So do you share secrets with each other?
Oh, yeah, sure. We don't have secrets. So we discuss every day, and we even have similar classes. So I teach class here. He's teaching class there. So we have exchange and about homeworks and, exams. So.
How wonderful.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It runs in the family. Well, I promised we're going to talk about some of the other properties, but first let me remind our listeners that they're listening to UWM Today right here on WUWM. I'm Tom Lujak, and joining us in the studio is Konstantin Sobolevs. Konstantin is a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UW-Milwaukee's College of Engineering and Applied Sciences, and he's developed some amazing ways of building stronger roads, keeping those potholes off until perhaps far, far, far into the future. We mentioned that the new material you're coming up with could last up to 120 years or more. The normal road, 30, 40, 50 years?
Well, 50 years is pretty common, and it depends actually on type of the road. I would say, obviously, quality control on federal highways, which are controlled by DOT, is much better. So we have better service life there. And most of the concerns are with municipal road, and those might be in pretty bad shape. But again, it's all about the money which we spend on the design, on quality control, and concrete can last, can be extremely durable material. But if you do it, right, if you don't do it right, it may fail. So.
Well, and again, for your product to last more than double the standard length of concrete is quite remarkable. There are three other materials that you are developing and you've come up with, and I want to walk through each one of them because each one I think is so interesting. One is a composite material that is pervious to water. Talk about roads that drink water.
Well, this is an interesting project, actually. And this project, we are working together with our pioneer company in Wisconsin, who is pioneer in actually industrial concrete. And the name of the company is Spancrete. And they are doing great work here in Wisconsin, but they also produce equipment and sell it all around the world. So they have a number of companies in the world using their equipment and technology to produce hollow core slabs, for example. And idea was to use the same technology and to produce pervious concrete.
And pervious means water can go
water can go it. Easier through it. And this is what the trick with design is, actually, that we don't use sufficient quantity of fine aggregate, sand, basically, in the mix. So you have this, actually, holes are inside of the concrete. So concrete looks like actually as a cheese, you know, with many holes on it. And it works, actually, as a filter. You see, well, my whole life is with concrete, and I like concrete, but, you know, concrete is everywhere, finally. And it is covering huge areas in the cities. And when we have rain, the nice and fresh water which we receive actually hits the ground, hits parking spots and, you know, collects all the dirt where it is going, you know. We have to put it in our waterways, and it is like all dirty water had to be cleaned if we want to reuse it. So the very natural way would be to actually send it back on the ground so it is going to where it belongs, actually, where it should be going. So
actually, actually use the concrete to filter the
as
water.
As a filter, exactly. This is what we have. Concrete can filter water and preserve it preserve its quality, so it can go and refill underwater horizons and will refill our water supplies and basically stay clean. We don't have to we really remove great trouble
it takes a huge load off the sewer systems.
Absolutely. We don't have to send it to sewer. It goes where it belongs, basically,
back
where
into
it should
the ground.
Be, back in the ground.
Yeah.
And the development, actually, again, I came across this material when I was doing my PhD back in the 90s, so a long time ago. And it was a byproduct of my research because actually I had to collect some fine material from concrete, so I had to sieve material, but I was not throwing away whatever remained there, and I was placing in the molds, and I had this pervious concrete slabs. And it was lightweight. It was still very strong. And Spancrete now is producing it at industrial scale. So they have number of applications. So what we add there as from our expertise, we are actually making this pervious concrete also photocatalytic. Photocatalytic means this material can purify air and purify water. And if there is any stain on driveway or on the parking from oil from the car, it can actually decompose the stain and convert it to clean concrete surface. Basically, we really achieve so many positive effects with this material.
Is that new concrete? Is it sturdy enough? Will it stand up to traffic and the big trucks?
It is not designed for big trucks, actually. So it is designed actually to collect water. So it's not designed for highway applications.
But sidewalk
is a perfect application.
Perhaps.
Driveway.
Yeah.
parking structure, parking open parking lot is a perfect application. Any let's say on the street roads, we can have like one area which is designed actually to collect water. So yeah. So one lane can be dedicated with and built with pervious concrete, and we can have bike lanes there and light traffic there. Uh-huh. Obviously, if we send heavy trucks through it, it may not resist
so
all the
load. So bringing together that stronger reinforced concrete we were talking about a little while ago and putting it right adjacent to the pervious concrete, you could end up with the perfect solution, concrete that holds up for a long time, but it's at the same time allowing the water to not go into the sewers.
Drain and clean. And
So one of the other composites that you've come up with is one that neutralizes air pollution. Talk about that. Is that the same principle?
Yeah, and this is a follow-up discussion actually on photocatalytic material. And
so not only taking care of the oil on the road itself, but actually it
decomposes especially the noxes, and noxes are generated by trucks and generated by industry, and this can really help us to keep air clean in larger cities. Milwaukee is really maybe we don't have that large concern with the traffic and associated pollution, but cities like Chicago, like
Los Angeles, New York,
there are big problems with air quality there and huge traffic loads. So this is really might be perfect solution for to decompose undesirable gases.
So what happens? What do you put something inside the concrete
that
reacts?
This concrete usually contains photocatalytic material. Usually it is titanium dioxide. Usually it's titanium dioxide nanoparticles. And this is something what we develop already for maybe almost like 15 years working with nanomaterials. And I mentioned nanoparticles, where basically concrete is particulate composite material. So we have particles of all the sizes, and we are now working with nano-sized particles. So we have 10 in power minus 9 meter, very small particles. But now we have ability to incorporate these particles into composite materials, including concrete, and see beneficial effects such as purification, air purification, but also keeping surface clean.
So are there any commercial applications for this new concrete that is
There are a number of projects in the United States, but mainly projects were done in Europe, like Italy. This material was invented actually in Italy, and there is a company which is producing it in Italy. So there are more applications there. And recently, one of these projects was actually awarded like top architectural and construction award by American Concrete Institute.
And so you're working on methods of bringing that same those same principles to concrete here in the United States.
Oh, yes.
Very, very exciting. The third area that I find fascinating is the way that you're incorporating fly ash. Tell us what fly ash is and how it might work well in the roads that we drive on.
Oh, okay. Well, fly ash is a byproduct of our power generating facilities. And actually, in Wisconsin, we have few companies which are in this business, including V Energies. And V Energies was and is one of the leading companies which are using fly ash extremely effectively. So my vision is to use fly ash to improve performance of concrete. Fly ash is not only, yes, it is byproduct, so we assume it's not
normally
very...
you want to throw it away or find
well,
some
nobody,
way to
nobody
it.
Wants to. Nobody wants to throw away anything anymore. So so we like to find beneficial use for it. And there is a perfect marriage there, so it fits perfectly concrete profile. And again, it is very small particle, but it is spherical particle. So when we mix it with Portland cement concrete, or Portland cement particles, which are slightly larger, but they are not spherical, they are angular. So fly ash particles help us to improve the rheological properties, the flow properties of concrete. So concrete can flow actually like water and can be easy filling the formwork and reducing labor, reducing noise, and improving quality, because you mentioned about this reinforcement bars we are using in heavily reinforced structures. The distance between the bars is very difficult for normal concrete actually to fill. But if we have proper design, we call it self-consolidating concrete, it can easily fill this, all the small gaps, can fill it without even vibration and have a perfect uniform structure. So this is what we are doing as well.
Boy, the Romans would be shaking their heads saying, this is great stuff, right? Oh. Why didn't we have it 2,000 years ago?
Yes.
I mentioned that you're working to help commercialize this, and you're actually engaged in a project with the National Science Foundation called ICOR to try to find ways to move these discoveries into commercial production. Tell us about that work.
ICOR project is actually dealing with one invention which we have at UWM with super hydrophobic concrete. Actually, concrete by its nature is hydrophilic, means it loves water. It can
it's like a sponge, right?
Because, not to extend, yeah. But it likes water, so it can actually easily absorb water, becomes wet, and this is what we see on our roads. But as I mentioned already, when water gets in, it can bring in some chemicals, and it can also freeze. So this is like two primary problems we have. But if we can make concrete hydrophobic, so
it can
repel water.
Yeah.
So it can repel water, and this is what we achieved. We developed some formulations which allow us actually to realize hydrophobic principles. And basically, this concrete always stays dry, water cannot get in, and it means it's going to be extremely durable. And with ICOR project, it actually helps us to understand how to find a market for it, what to commercialize, speak the same language with the business. And I think it was a great training. Learn the need and where your product can be really applied. So how really to transfer from the discovery to the practical world. So hopefully we can see it on our roads.
Well, we look forward to driving on those roads
okay.
Sometime in the future. Constantine, thank you so much. Yeah. Best of luck as you go back to your concrete kitchen and
okay.
come up with even more recipes
okay.
for getting us around safer. And again, keep those jarring rattles from hurting our car or our teeth as we hit that next pothole. We'll be thinking about
okay.
that new concrete coming down the road.
Okay.
Constantine Sobolev, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today with host Tom Lujack, the weekly program where you get to meet the people behind one of America's top research universities, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Playing a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin, UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and world-class research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Learn more at uwm.edu.